Well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which you can find on the EW10 app or EW10PodcastCentral.com or on Spotify or iTunes or one of those. So you can listen to these reflections every day. Well, today we're going to take a look at the second part of Psalm 143. So obviously that's in book 5. It's just a 7 psalms from the end. And this is a psalm of David. So we previously looked at the first 6 verses, and we want to start at the verse 7. Now the prescript, very simple, a psalm of David. Very simple. And again, this is very late in the book of Psalms. Remember, David is the only author of the Psalms that has Psalms in all 5 books of the Psalms, right? So David continues here in verse 7. O Lord, make haste and answer me, for my spirit fails within me. Do not hide your face from me, lest I become like those who go down into the grave. Right? Oh, ooh, David, I love that. So I think about this again. We're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist today. And particularly, as I read David here, thinking about Eucharistic adoration. We go before the Lord in that blessed sacrament, and we just pour our hearts out to him. Lord, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to deal with this, Lord? You know, Lord, I'm agonizing right now. Lord, I'm stressed right now. You know, what decision do I make here? You know, and so we're asking, do not hide your face from me. Because when we're in adoration, we're face to face with God. We're face to face with the Lord. And so he says, do not hide your face from me. And why? Because I become like those in the grave. Wow, that's a powerful image. You know, if you're not face to face with God, then you're in the grave. Right? And think about our culture. Those who don't spend the time looking and seeking that deep, intimate, personal relationship with God, you know, they're basically spiritually dead. You know, wow, powerful David. Continues in verse 8. In the morning, let me know your loving mercy. I think the previous translation said merciful love, but again, same. In the morning, let me know your loving mercy, for in you I place my trust. Make me know the way I should walk. To you I lift up my soul. All right? So again, a little bit of a parallelism here. He says, in the morning, let me know your loving mercy. All right? So again, this reminds me, first thing I do when I wake up every single morning, including this morning, hit the alarm button. First thing out of my mouth before I even make a move to get out of that bed. Lord, thank you for allowing me to see the light of another day so that I may give honor, praise, and glory to your most holy name. Right? So the first thing, I want my whole day to start being mindful of the Lord's presence, being mindful of his loving mercy working in my life every day. Right? And so starting off in him, I put my trust. Lord, I'm entrusting this whole day to you. This whole day to you. My heart to your heart, Lord. Right? Make me know the way I should walk. Why? To you, I lift up my soul. Right? And there's a song, right? To you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul, something like that. So lifting up our souls to God. That's what music does, right? It elevates you. It lifts you, right? It takes you out of out of your current circumstance and brings you to a place, you know, where you have a memory. You know, like Ace was talking about, he gets emotional when he hears the opening horn part of a Frankie Valli song, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what music does. And again, these psalms were meant to be sung. So there's no question in my mind. Okay, well, first, it's a psalm of David. So David most likely did not pass this psalm off to one of the superintendents of the musical guild to put music to. He probably put the music to this psalm himself. And so as he's writing and as he's playing, right, the music is also helping him to lift his soul up to the Lord.
Yeah. And so much too. And that's why I love when, you know, current day artists take scripture or take the Psalms and apply it within the song so that you have some little bit of sing-songy melody because we don't know what musical intentions David had, but we can create our own within our own heart, even if you're not musical. Like, the Psalms read like a song. It reads like a lyric. So, you know, the gone are the days of, you know, opening the records and, you know, reading every lyric, but we can do that with the Psalms and get that same encouragement and vibe from it.
Yeah, I used to love that, by the way, when you bought the album, you read the lyrics, like, oh, that's what they say.
Right.
Yeah, so you actually read instead of making it up.
After listening to it on the radio and singing it wrong.
And singing it wrong, exactly. Yep. David continues in verse 9, rescue me, O Lord, from my foes. To you I have fled for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. I love that line. Right. I mean, because that's, you know, and it says that's been a kind of a key, what's called a hermeneutic, an interpretive key for my life, is always trying to do God's will, always striving to discover what God's will is in my life, trying to live his will out in its fullness. Right. And that's what David says. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit guide me. What good spirit? The Holy Spirit. Let your good spirit guide me upon ground that is level. I think the previous translation said in ways that are level and smooth. Right? So what does this remind you of? Isaiah. Every mountain shall be filled in. Every valley be laid low. Winding ways made straight. Rough roads made smooth. Right? What makes this smooth? Walking the path with the Lord. Now, walking in the path of the Lord is not always going to be easy, right? But the Lord will always lead us in the path of righteousness. He will always lead us down the road of truth and goodness and beauty. Why? Because we're guided by the Holy Spirit. We're cooperating with the grace that God is giving us in that beautiful spirit. And that grace allows us to recognize the power of God working in our lives. It gives us the courage to continue to move forward even when it's difficult, right? Jesus, pick up your cross and follow me, right? Because he's leading us to life. Love that. And he continues in verse 11. Lord, save my life for the sake of your name, right? Not save my life because, you know, my life is the greatest and look what kind of example I am to these people. No, save my life for the sake of your name. That's powerful. And that's exactly what God did in Jesus Christ. He sent his son to save us from the forces and the power of death. Right. And so in doing that, he saved our life for the sake of his holy name so that God's promise can be shown forth in and through his people that he calls to be with him in covenant relationship. In your justice, lead my soul out of distress. Right. Because God's God of justice. Right. Now, sometimes we don't feel that when we see all the craziness going on in the world and we ask ourselves, God, why are you allowing this to happen? You know, or why is this happening to me right now in my life? And sometimes we question God, but God ultimately is a God of justice, right? And the justice of God will eventually come to the fore. And if we continue to live in righteousness and, you know, if we continue to live in that right relationship with God, then God will lead us on the path to everlasting life.
Have you ever thought about, you know, in the same way that when things happen to us, it's because of either someone else's sin or our own sin, whatever it might be. But in the same vein that the things that we do that affect other people, they're asking the same questions. God, why is this happening to me? Well, it's because of my sin that's now bled onto you because I've not allowed myself to be changed to let that no longer be a factor in my life.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we have to work hard to break generational cycles mm-hmm. of sin, right? And yep. So the idea is, yes, the past helped shape me into the person I am today. Yeah. But my past does not determine my future.
Amen.
Right? That's the key. But so, and that's why I have to learn to let go. It's a God's merciful love that David's talking about here that allows us to let go of that so we can find our full potential in God's love.
So true.
Right? And the last line here, verse 12. In your mercy, make an end of my foes. Destroy all those who oppress my soul, for I am your servant. Okay, strong language here about destroying, but what we're talking about here is destroying the forces of evil that are trying to take me away from your love, Lord, right? That's the way I read it. Why? For I am your servant. And for me, reading that, I am your deacon, right?
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.